Well, it is Thursday morning. That means it's time for Making Sausage, where we take a look at the messy business of politics and government. Our longtime DFL commentator, Colleen Nardone, is with us this morning. Thanks for being here, Colleen.
Oh, thanks for having me, Heidi.
So is Brianna Birschbach. Brianna covers the Minnesota legislature from politics and policy to the campaign trail. Today, we're talking about the end of the legislative session. Brianna begins her latest article with, "It's all over, or is it?" Do you have an answer to that, Brianna?
Well, you know, I think one part of it is over. We're not going to go into a government shutdown, which a lot of people were worried about the second they realized that we were again going to have a Republican-controlled legislature this year and a DFL governor. The last time we had that in 2011, it didn't go so well. We had a 20-day government shutdown. I think a lot of people thought it might be like that this year. Dayton, though, this week threw a curveball. He signed all of the budget bills, avoiding a government shutdown, but he did line item veto one very specific, very important provision, which is funding for the entire legislature. And he said, "I want you guys to come back to the negotiating table and talk about some provisions that are now law because I just signed them into law." Republicans say, "No way, we're not going to do that." They are looking into Friday hiring a lawyer to basically challenge him vetoing the budget for the legislature on constitutional grounds, that he violated the separation of powers, that the executive branch and the legislative branch are two distinct branches of government, and that he can't do that because he's putting in jeopardy one branch of government. So it'll be really interesting to see where this goes next. It seems like the courts is more likely than another special session, but we'll know more Friday. The Republicans want to hire a lawyer on Friday, or at least look into it.
Brianna, will they expect the taxpayers to pay that lawyer's fees?
Likely, yes. A lot of times when these challenges happen, they are paid for out of state funds. Now, the legislature doesn't exactly have a budget as of July 1st, if this line item veto goes into place. So they'll have to find some. They do have this thing called a carry forward fund, which Dayton referenced several times this week, which is basically a fund that they've reserve they've saved up over the years of between $3 and $8 million. I think for moments like this, they wanted to have some independence from the executive branch in case this happened or something like this happened. So they could potentially use that money. The courts could also impose a temporary injunction while the case is going on and continue current levels of funding for the legislature, at least until the court case is resolved. And on Dayton's side, it would be likely that the attorney general would represent him. That's often what happens in cases like this, although she was asked yesterday and isn't commenting yet until she sees an actual lawsuit.
So what Governor Dayton did is in response to what the Republicans did in terms of the Department of Revenue. Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, so he called it he said the reason for doing this was because of a reprehensible sneak attack, which was his words, or legislative treachery, which was also his colorful language. He had a lot of really colorful language in his letter and in his press release or in his press conference. But he said it was a sneak attack. What they did is basically made department for the entire funding for the entire Department of Revenue, which collects all state taxes that pay for all state services, contingent on Dayton signing a tax bill, a $650 million tax bill that Republicans wanted. That, he said, was tricky. I guess Republicans said it was in several versions of the tax bill that was sent to him. I don't know. Dayton hasn't been clear about when he noticed it or if he noticed it until afterward, but he did make clear that he didn't like that they had done that and that he felt it was a breach of his executive powers and a danger to the state and an essential service. So he said, because you did that, I'm going to do this. Now, I talked to some lawyers yesterday about this. You know, is this on par what they did with what Dayton did to the legislature? And some said you could make an argument in court saying the Republicans also went after a core function of government by attempting to potentially defund the Department of Revenue because it pays for all of the state services, but because it's not so clearly outlined in the Constitution as a constitutional power like the legislature, it might be a harder case to make. A lot of attorneys think the legislature has a good case to make in terms of Dayton violating the separation of powers.
Interesting.
It will be. I think it's not the first time, and it probably isn't the last time that a really messy legislative session went to the courts instead of got finished in the halls of the Capitol. We did this in 2011, in 2005, when both government shutdowns, and in 2001. I think this is kind of becoming the norm. There's not a shutdown, but there is still a mess at the end, and they have to go to the courts to fix it.
It seems that this dysfunction between the branches of government has gotten worse in recent years. As you look at the history, like you pointed out, the three shutdowns, but they're still relatively recent history. And isn't this sort of a deviation from what the Constitution intended, that they would go in and actually negotiate things and pass bills and sign or veto them?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. And I think a lot of people would agree and wish that the process was cleaner. It's been like this now. Republicans came in and said they wanted it to be a more transparent session. They bumped up deadlines for major budget bills to get negotiated and presented. But we still had this mess in the end anyway, because at a certain point, lawmakers go behind closed doors and things go into the dark. And no one really knows what's happening. I mean, that's how all these secret provisions were snuck into bills. And that's how, how transparent can the process be if the governor doesn't even know what's in some of these bills? I mean, how could the public possibly know and understand? And how could you be negotiating in good faith if these things are happening? It's been like that for the last 2 years. Certainly, the 2016 session ended in the final moments. It literally imploded on the House floor. Democrats added an amendment to a budget bill at the last minute because they said it was supposed to be in there. Again, dark of night. So the bill failed in 2015. They went through the all hours of the night, had mistakes in the bills, had to have those corrected. Some got vetoed. It's really a mess, and I don't think it serves legislators, obviously, or the public any good. Now, the Constitution does say, here are your deadlines. I'm a journalist. I know I write to my deadline, but we meet our deadlines, and legislators have found ways to almost always kind of blow past it, or special sessions have become not that special anymore. I've definitely talked to people, and I probably will have a story forthcoming on, is there a way to fix this, or is this just sort of the nature of politics? I think depending on who you ask, the answer is different.
So, Brianna, this is John Bauer. Was there an effort to reduce the taxes on tobacco?
Yes, there is. It's an inflator, actually. So tobacco tax increases were added in 2013 when Democrats controlled the legislature to, obviously raise revenue and also dissuade people from smoking. Republicans don't like that. I think the reasons people have said are different. Greg Davids, the chair, says it's a recessive tax, and it disadvantages poor people who smoke. Others have said that big tobacco has a lot of power in the Capitol and has influenced the decision. But what the tax bill did was reduced inflation, basically an automatic inflator that would increase every budget year the taxes on tobacco. Dayton doesn't like that. That's part of what he would like to renegotiate if they come back in for a special session. At this point, that doesn't seem very likely, though. So as of now, that inflator is gone and part of the tax cut bill.
So it was an effort to get people to maybe smoke a little bit better and feel a bit more comfortable smoking. I just don't.
That might be a result. Certainly there have been studies shown that a more expensive and costly product does dissuade smoking to a certain extent.
And we do have, I think, historically low teenage smoking at this point in time. So,
yeah,
I believe we do, too. Yeah. That's discussed a lot. Yeah, we have pretty high taxes on cigarettes, at least compared to other states, which brought up this year. Certainly, some people say that's fine, tax it more. Taxes on little cigars were also included because sometimes young kids have been smoking those as well. So they wanted to, in the past, increase taxes on those so that less young people are inclined to buy them.
We're talking with Brianna Birschbach from MinnPost about the end of the legislative session. What else did the governor want to renegotiate in the tax bill?
Yeah, he wanted to renegotiate the cigarette taxes. He also wants to renegotiate a business property tax cut, which he said was too large in the tax bill that was passed. And It's a wonky legislative word, but it has problems in the tails, which means it has problems in future budget years. It costs a certain amount of money this year, but it's going to be more and more expensive as time goes on. I think he wants to renegotiate that, make it a little less expensive. He also wants to negotiate some other minor provisions, but he wants to negotiate provisions outside of the tax bill as well, which was kind of surprising. He wants to negotiate the immigrant driver's license position, which was debated as part of the Real ID bill, but then ultimately wasn't part of the Real ID bill to get it passed. But what it does is bars the Department of Public Safety from issuing a driver's license to undocumented immigrants. The department and Democrats said they already couldn't do that, but Republicans wanted to be made explicit. Dayton had protests and sit-ins in his office after that went into the public safety bill. He has signed it. He wants to reopen negotiations on that. He also wants to open negotiations on a teacher licensure proposal that he passed as part of his education funding bill. That was negotiated with Republicans, and he vetoed an initial bill because he said it didn't have funding attached. It did in the budget bill, but he got some pressure from Education Minnesota, the union, the Teachers Union in Minnesota, to go back and try to discuss that. So even if they don't have a special session, Dayton can tell those who were saying to him, you know, you should reopen these conversations, that he at least tried to reopen the conversation. But a lot of these things are likely to continue to be law if Republicans don't agree to come back to the negotiating table.
So what's the story on the Republicans hiring an attorney? I mean, that could take forever, couldn't it?
It could. That's a big concern, especially since they're going to need funding by July 1st. There is precedent in history that for a case like this, dealing with fundamental constitutional questions, that it gets expedited. So because the legislature is in St. Paul, a lot of these court cases actually start in Ramsey County Court, which has Ramsey County has sort of by chance become this, you know, epicenter of legislative constitutional battles. What could and likely will happen is that will get expedited immediately up to the Supreme Court, which is where it's heading anyway. So it'll skip the Court of Appeals. It could be up to the Supreme Court in the matter of months, and they could expedite their review and their ruling on that as well.
Now, I watched the debate on the Real ID bill, mm-hmm. and as near as I can tell, and you kind of hinted at that with it, they already can't. They spent a lot of time discussing that bill, and now they want to, you know, there's pressure to revisit it, where really it's mostly a PR thing, a statement of mm-hmm. policy or something, where it changes nothing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were occasions where the Department of Public Safety was issuing driver's licenses. I think that it would put a stop to that, but it was I think a very small number of times because it wasn't really clear in law. It didn't explicitly say that. I mean, it became a policy issue. It probably isn't going to actually be a huge change, but it did become a statement, I think, for both sides. You saw a lot of progressive activists coming to the Capitol to say this is a bad statement. We shouldn't be making this statement for our, you know, immigrant communities. I know Democrats, the DFL party is very concerned about what signing that bill does for that base of support for candidates. I mean, it was explicitly said in a letter this week. I think Republicans, for them, it was a very good piece for their conservative base as well. So, yeah, I think it was ultimately a very political conversation that really almost derailed an important change, Real ID, this year. Otherwise, Minnesotans would have had trouble, if they didn't have a passport, would have had trouble boarding a commercial flight starting January of next year. And it was amazing how long it took them to actually comply with that and get it done. And that was one of the huge roadblocks.
Brianna, what happened with the preemption proposal?
Yeah, that did get vetoed. That was one of the things that specifically got a veto. Dayton had promised that, had been promising that for the last few weeks. It was really interesting, though, more political trickery, I think, on both sides. Republicans promised the governor they wouldn't send it in a budget bill, which would have sort of forced him, like some of these other things we were talking about, to sign preemption in order to pass a budget bill. They promised him they wouldn't do that, but they did tie other things he liked to it, like pensions, state ratification of state contracts, and also paid parental leave for state workers, which needed to be ratified as part of those contracts. Dayton vetoed that bill. But then when he announced his decisions this week, he said that once the legislature took a vote on those provisions in the legislature, the contracts were ratified according to law. It didn't actually need Dayton's signature to ratify. Some people agree, so there might be a court battle over that issue as well.
Now,
it'll be interesting.
Did I understand correctly when the article I read that says they couldn't preempt or wouldn't preempt many things, but would prevent a ban on plastic bags?
Yes, that was one that did get passed in a different budget bill. Dayton, I think, must have agreed to it behind closed doors because he ultimately signed that bill and didn't discuss it very much. But yes, local governments, Minneapolis actually was about to start one. I believe today was the day they were going to have a plastic bag ban in grocery stores go into effect. That is now nullified by the state action, as local governments legally aren't allowed to do that anymore.
Okay. I thought that's what it said, but I kept thinking, what an interesting thing to see, to pick out and keep that one in. Okay.
Yeah, and it's confusing because you're not banning you're banning a ban. So I think people get confused a lot of times. They're like, wait, is it a ban? Is it a plastic bag ban in law? And it's banning local governments from banning plastic bags. And it is a strange one for Republicans to really go to battle for. But, you know, some have suggested they knew they were losing the broader preemption fight and wanted to have a victory in there. This was really important for the chambers of commerce across the state, especially the main chamber of commerce, which are typically aligned with Republicans. So I think they wanted to say that they did some preemption this year.
And it is consistent with national Republican policy to disagree with anything related to science or the environment.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue that's tied in, as well as preemption and local control. That's been something that's really been nationalized this year and has trickled down from the national level to state legislatures across the country.
Well, Brianna, here you thought you might have a little break.
Yeah.
and no.
It's not as bad.
Okay.
I'm not at the legislature for all hours of the night. You know, I kind of know what's happening and can go to sleep at night. So that's good.
I was watching your wrap-up the night that that you finally got to go home and get some sleep. And I remember thinking, these poor people need their sleep for no other reason.
Yeah, that was an amazing
night. Let's recess. Yes.
Well, Brianna, we'll check back in with you soon. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Brianna Birschbach from MinnPost. You can read her work at minnpost.com. Colleen, thanks so much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
Making Sausage. Let us know what you think. Comments at kaxe.org. Coming up, we've got best wishes.
Happy days are here.